It frequently happens that the value of a thing lies in the fact that someone special has possessed it. You're possessed by God. You belong to God.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
I think it's safe to say that many people in our culture suffer from what they would probably call an identity crisis. And in the midst of that identity crisis, there are people in our culture who are asking, who am I? Or why am I here? Or where am I going? Those are very meaningful interrogatives, very meaningful questions. But Christians are the people who have the answers to those questions. Christians do not share in that identity crisis. At least hypothetically, we don't. Realistically, we don't, but sometimes we don't behave like it. Christians have no such identity crisis. Christians are people who have identity. They know who they are. They know they're creatures made in the image of God. They're fallen creatures, but they're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. They have identity. You and I have identity. We know who we are, the creatures of God, fallen but redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians have utility. That is, they have purpose. They know why they are here. They can answer that question, why am I here? They know why they're here. We are here to stand in a relationship of love and obedience to God and to humbly and lovingly serve Him until we go home to meet Him. Christians are people who have not only identity, knowing who they are, not only utility, knowing why they are here, but they're people who have destiny. They know where they are going. They're bound for the Father's house. Every child of God is bound for the Father's house. John 14, verses 1 to 6. Yet a very unique phenomenon has arisen among many modern Christians in our day and age. In our day and age, the pressures that they face, the pressures of peers, the pressures of affluence, the pressures of humanism, the pressures of these various things have pushed many Christians to the very brink of denying what they are as Christians. Those kinds of pressures have forced them into the mold of the world so that they try to be what they are not. They try to be like the world. The Bible says we have been called out of the world. And though that is true, many Christians seek for acceptance by the world. We have been called out of the world. We're to remain separate from the world and its system, its philosophy, and its practices. Not its people. We're to be accessible to them because they have needs, but its philosophy and its practices. We are people who have been called out of the world. And though that is true, many Christians seek for acceptance by the world through conformity to the world, and that is a practical denial of what we are. And it's tragic beyond words. What am I as a Christian? What does it mean that I'm a Christian? Do I really understand the implications of being a Christian? And what should I do in the light of that? We should learn to define, accept, and act upon what we are as children of God. And it seems to me in 1 Peter 2, verses 9 through the third chapter, all the way down through verse 12, and I think that's kind of a natural section, Peter shares with us three significant insights regarding that theme. First of all, it seems to me Peter speaks of the Christian's identity. That's verse 9, the first half of it. The Christian's identity. He says, you're a chosen generation. That's your salvation. He says, you're a royal priesthood. That's your service. He says, you're a holy nation. That's your sanctity. That's your purity. He says, you're a peculiar people. That doesn't mean odd. If we're odd, we shouldn't blame God. A peculiar people. And I think that emphasizes our security. Peter's word peculiar doesn't mean what we customarily attach to it in our modern world. It doesn't mean odd. Peripoieo is the Greek word. It means to save. Literally what it means. It means to save or to preserve. We are God's saved people. We are God's preserved people. It means to acquire or to purchase. To acquire or to purchase. We are God's purchased people. It means to gain for oneself. It means to encompass or encircle. Peripoieo. Peri is like perimeter. That which goes around, makes a circle. It means to be encompassed or encircled by God, and therein lies our security. Literally, the phrase means a people belonging exclusively to God. A people for God specially to possess. We are God's special people. We are that body of people that belong specifically and specially to God. You know, it frequently happens that the value of a thing, see if you follow me on this, it frequently happens that the value of a thing lies in the fact that someone special has possessed it. You're possessed by God. You belong to God. In any museum, you visit a museum, what do you find? You find ordinary things, articles of clothing, perhaps a cane, a piece of furniture, maybe some books, perhaps a writing pen. And these items are of great value. Why? They're quite ordinary objects. They are of great value only because they were once possessed by some great person. That's the way it is with you and me. We may be very ordinary people, but we have acquired a totally new value because we have been acquired, we have been purchased by God. We are His very special possession, purchased at extreme cost. That's what Paul meant when he said to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, in verse 28, he spoke of the church of God, which He hath purchased, and that's the same Greek word, peripoeo, that's translated peculiar here, which He hath purchased with His own blood, Acts 20, in verse 28. That's why we have great value. Peter says, these are those terms which describe your identity. What are you as a Christian? Be what you are. What are you? You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people, a people for God's special possession. He purchased you. He acquired you through the shed blood of His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you do, don't behave as anything less than that. Don't pretend that you're a part of this world system. Give the whole of your being to the authority of God. You are all of these things that Peter says you are in this great passage. Reflect upon it and behave appropriately. Don't deny what you are by what you do. But then he says, there is something for you to do. I want you to see your identity, Peter says, and I also want you to see your ministry. And we'll try to close with this thought, ministry. He says, not only be what you are, but he says, do what you ought. Well, what should we do? He says, number one, you have a message. Do you notice? You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, in order that. Purpose clause. Here's the purpose for it all. Hapos is the Greek particle there. In order that ye should show forth the praises of Him, that is the praises of God. Peter says, you have a fantastic identity as Christians. We are all that Peter has said we are in the first half of this verse, but why are we this? Peter says that a Christian's wealth is not to be hoarded, it's to be given away. He cannot be content. No true Christian can be content that his needs are met while others all around him are living out their lives with emaciated faces and hands, with empty lives. You and I have been enriched through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but now we must give it away. We can't hoard it. We must share it with other people. So Peter says we are all these things in order that we might show forth the praises of Him. God's great work of transformation in us is so that He can do a great work of proclamation through us. Did you follow me? God's great work of transformation in us is so that He can do a great work of proclamation through us. So He says, I want you to show forth. And that means preach. That's what that word means. Ex angelo is the word. Angelo is the word for angel. It means to be a messenger. And ex means out. And the idea is to tell out. It means to proclaim abroad. It means to publish completely. It describes a complete and comprehensive proclamation of what is largely unknown to the vast masses of humanity. In effect, what it is a mandate for biblical evangelism. And there's not a one of us that's exempt from the great privilege and awesome responsibility of evangelism. We have a fantastic new identity through our faith in Jesus Christ. God has produced a radical transformation in us so that he can proclaim a message through us. And every one of us has that responsibility incumbent upon us. Show forth what? The praises of him. Show forth the praise. It means his eminent qualities, his excellencies. That word praises means excellencies. You know, there's some excellent things in the nature of God. There's no God like our God. The doctrine of God is a very precious and beautiful doctrine in the Scripture. And when you get to know our God, what a tremendous being our God is. And what a wonderful thing, what an intoxicating prospect that we can know this God personally through his Son, Jesus Christ. That he knows us individually. That he loves us. He loves every one of us as if there were only one of us to love. And he gives himself to us. He doesn't give things to us. He gives himself to us. He takes up residence within us. He says, I want you to show forth. I want you to declare. I want you to proclaim clearly and precisely and completely and comprehensively the excellencies and the beauties, the praises of God. God's praises are those matchless qualities, those moral excellencies, those mighty deeds, all of which reveal those things in the nature of God which are worthy of praise. That's the message we're to proclaim. But we might need a motivation to do that. So Peter lists three great blessings that God has given to us. Do you notice in the last part of verse 9 and in verse 10? We have a motivation. If we are to announce to others who God is and what God has done for us, what shall we say? We know who God is. I wish we had the time to look at this material. He's a God of peace, infinite serenity. He's a God of power, infinite potency. He's a God of purity, infinite sanctity. He's a God of passion or love, infinite empathy. He's a God of perpetuity or life, infinite vitality and infinite indestructibility. That's the kind of God he is. But what has he done for us? We're to declare this message. We have a message, we have a motivation. We're to declare this message. What has he done for us? Peter lists three benefits. Do you notice? Let me give them to you in outline form. Number one, Peter says we have manumission. You say, what is that? Manumission. To be manumitted means to be set free, to be liberated, to be emancipated. We are set free from the darkness, and we are introduced into the light. When a man experiences salvation, he comes to know God, and God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. 1 John chapter 1, in verse 5. We were groping in the darkness. We were bound. We were in the grips of a situation from which we could not set ourselves free. We were headed for the most deadly kind of death, but Jesus Christ has turned us into the most vital kind of life. We're no longer in the darkness. We've been liberated. We have manumission. Every Christian should thank God for that.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.